Good morning and welcome. Today is Sunday, September 20th, and we welcome you to our online services at Petaluma United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Welcome, sisters and brothers, to our worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church. This unique expression of worship comes to you from the dedicated work of many volunteers and leaders. We are glad that you have found us and want to invite you to share this link to this podcast widely with friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. Let us find our quiet center as we call ourselves to worship. Please join me in the call to worship. We come together in the midst of challenging times. We come together knowing that, though the days are difficult, God is present in each moment. We come together to give our fears, our sorrows, our worries to this God who is with us. And we come together to worship, to give ourselves to God and to one another in community. Come, let us be in spirit of worship together.
Thank you. Confession. We each have fallen short, made errors even grievously offended. Come, let us join together in confessing our sins before God. So join me in silent prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way of peace. Come into the brokenness of our lives and our land with your healing love. Help us to be willing to bow before you in true repentance and to bow to one another in real forgiveness. By the fire of your Holy Spirit, melt our hard hearts and consume the pride and justice which separate us. Fill us, Lord, with your perfect love, which casts out our fear, and find us together in that unity which you share with the Creator and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
What great gift our God has given us in the wonderful power of forgiveness. As we are forgiven, so we are led to go ourselves and offer forgiveness. Let us celebrate this wonder of wonders in the reality of a God who loves us and does indeed forgive us. Amen.
Anonda lesoni na matasani kuwa sa kuni manasame ndunan ro kelima. Dua kinaono, pasangona kinorongo. Do iena po muli-muli bichoba, do masuta na dana. Do tukuna voli vieren tamata na nona dadaka. Do servoa, do seretagaboa na same. Do veitukutukunitaka na nona dadaka mana kidanga. Do bardadoutaka na dana tambo. Me marau na lomanra era sangare bichoba. Do baka sangare bichoba, kena nona koukoua. Do baka namata tikunga boa. Do nanuma na nona dadaka, e viva kurumbutaki, sadakaba kukwea. I na nona dadaka mana, kena lewa nangusuna. Oi kemdo na kawai e pra ama, na nona tamata, ke na kawai te kope, sa andingi tako kukwea. Ingu wabakal watataka na klou, na nona leso ni, e na matasaka ni kua.
The first reading, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
From Philippians, for to me living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now here, that I still have.
Good morning, friends. I'm overjoyed to be with you today and to be able to come to you in this way. As we gather, I just want to say something. I'd like to give thanks for the cleaner air as we struggle through the fires that are so devastating in this part of the world. And more particularly, I want to lift up in grateful thanksgiving the tireless, selfless efforts of firefighters and first responders. Sometimes, you know, I think the word hero gets a bit overused, but let me tell you, it applies to these people. So thanks be to God for those who give themselves for something larger than their own individual wants and desires. Let us pray. Holy One, as we come today before you, we are resonating with your call to live a life worthy of the gospel. This day, as we explore this calling, we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon all of us as we work side by side to be your church. Hear us, hold us, provoke us by your sacred presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. We hear this passage, and it is a powerful call indeed. And I think it's a call that comes with a couple of dimensions, a couple of lenses through which we can peer to catch a glimpse of a deeper faithfulness. I guess the first thing that comes to me when I hear this is a memory from my childhood. When I was a teenager, every time I would leave the house, my mom would stop me and give me that look of hers through a furrowed brow. And she would say, "Remember that wherever you are, you represent your family. All your actions, everything you do reflects on your dad and me and on the generations of ancestors who follow you in the spirit. So remember, Skylar, you represent far more than just yourself. You represent far more than just yourself." I can still hear her voice, and I remember repeating virtually the same thing to my own children when they were teenagers. But you know, this is also true for Christians as well. We represent more than just ourselves. Wherever we go, whatever we do, people see us and they watch, because we represent our Savior and our Master. When we're out there doing the things we do, I mean, even the mundane, simple things, you know, gassing up our cars, meeting friends for meals, going to the market, or walking down the street, whatever it is we do, we are reminded that living a life worthy of the gospel is more than just believing the right thing. It is knowing that as Christians, our lives reflect on Jesus, on God, and on the whole church. And if we present behaviors that are judgmental, negative, or cynical, what are we saying about Jesus? What are people thinking as they witness this kind of thing? If we have Jesus in our mouth and hate in our heart, what's going to be the result with the people to whom we represent? And in the same way, though, when we give ourselves for others in grace, forgiveness, compassion, people see that too. They see whether or not our lives are worthy of the gospel, worthy of the high standards of our Master Teacher Jesus, who calls us even in this moment to represent with everything we do, worthy of the call of God of all creation, who created us in the divine image. Soren Kierkegaard, famous philosopher, was once asked if he was a Christian. And his response was, "Well, don't ask me, ask the people who experience me. They will know." So we represent and communicate with lives that are worthy of the gospel. And then there's another lens through which we view this understanding, this passage, this sense of the scripture. The notion of worthiness here is related to our lives of worship. Yeah, that's right. The word worship, interestingly enough, is derived from the old English word, worship. It's spelled W-O-E-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. And what it means, in a nutshell, is that God is worthy. God is worthy. When we worship, one of the key things we do together is surrender ourselves to a mighty God, a God who is worthy of our adoration, worthy of our fealty, worthy of our commitment, worthy of our obedience. I've seen some circumstances where congregations lose this focus. And with loss of focus, worship can too easily be about what I want or what we want. You know how it goes, right? About the kind of music or the style of worship or the time of worship. Or I remember in one church, even the color of paint in the sanctuary. What we want. And I got to be honest with you here and confessional a little. I struggle with this myself. Not too long ago, I attended one of those big box churches, not a United Methodist church. And they had a youth service with a couple hundred kids in it. And I wanted to see what they were doing. How was that working, you know? So I went, and the place was packed, as promised, with kids who were receiving the word and accepting Christ. But the music, my friends, was killing me. I do not like that kind of music. It was hip-hop music, and I just don't like that kind of music. You know, I sat there being all kinds of judgmental and cynical when all of a sudden it was like God slapped me upside the head. And I got this realization, here was a room of kids whose hearts were being changed. A room full of Holy Spirit worship. And me? I'm lost because I don't like the music. Who am I to limit how God reaches people? I quietly and quickly asked for forgiveness and then started to let go of what I wanted and to focus again on what God wanted of me. True worship, you see, has nothing to do with what we want or what I want. True worship calls us to the Christian work of releasing our desires and our ego. It calls us to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. It calls us to obedience to the love and grace of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So friends, we have here what appears to be two hands on this piece of the body of Christ. The first is getting clear that our lives are a witness to Jesus' work in the world. And when our lives are worthy of the gospel, those lives are focused on love, grace, forgiveness, compassion, and hope. And the second is giving ourselves to a God who is indeed worthy. A God who keeps promises, committing ourselves to lives that are in themselves an act of worship. These two pieces fit together well and can be a framework for the revival of the church. I believe that if people saw us energetically, passionately living out the gospel, that that would be an amazing and great witness. A community where you get to be loved no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter what you look like. A community that cares about truth, about healing, about love and mutuality. People need this. And if it's real, if it's authentic, they will seek it out. People also have a deep inner need of the sacred, of the holy. They have a hunger for that God who is worthy. I believe in this time of challenge and crisis comes the call for us to step up and live this gospel out loud. In this time of fear and chaos, we are called to cleave unto a mighty and worthy God, a God who fulfills the cosmic process in Jesus, the God of creation, the God of Israel, the God who comes to us in Christ. You know, I think it's like God calls us to dance, kind of a two-step of worthiness. What do you think? Can we work on this together? Can we reach into one another's hearts to begin renewing and reviving the church with lives that are worthy of the gospel? Can we turn away from thoughts about decline and attendance and money and give those over to God as we simply build a community of people who live lives that are worthy of the gospel? I think we can. I think so. In fact, I know we can because we have begun this good work already. I've seen it. I've seen you, each of you, doing this good work. So let's then redouble our focus. Let's renew our commitment today, our commitment to be that living witness to God's grace, God's healing, God's liberating power, our commitment to a God who is worthy of our obedience, our commitment. I celebrate today and every day that I have the privilege of walking with you in this time, in this work. And I give thanks and am prayerfully grateful for your work and your faithfulness as we raise up and call people to lives that are worthy of the gospel. Amen. Won't you join me in prayer? Holy and amazing God, we come before you this day with hearts full of thanksgiving, with hearts full of joy that we get to come together, that we get to follow you, that we have found in you the source of salvation, hope, and healing. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory, God. We come too, God, as people who walk through difficult days, days of chaos and craziness, days of smoke and virus. And God, we come a little bit tired, I think. God, we seek you and we seek to follow you, and we invite an outpouring of a fresh spirit of joy and power and courage on us. Pour your spirit of hope and wonder so that we as your people might go forward. For each one of us needs you in a special way, God. Each one of us struggles with different things, with illness, with family, with relationships, with work. And we ask that you pour a spirit out on us to help us meet these challenges. In all things, God, we come to you, seeking you, loving you, and we receive your spirit with utter joy and willingness to live into it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ta mai ki mami mai lo malangi, me varoro taiki nei dhamuni. Me adho mai na nomuni matintu. Me dhagana lo mamuni e burvura, me pakasa dhaga mai lo malangi. Ni sile me ve ki mami ni singongo na kakana ruti ki mami. Ni mokoda manda ni nema mi dhagadala. Me pakaa ki mami sa mokoda, uere sa dhagadala ve ki mami. Ni kako ni kuti ki mami gina vere, kamuni vambule ke mami maina dhaa. Ni sa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asanga ni mundu. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the time in our gathering of worship when we commit to returning our gifts, our offerings, and our tithes to God and to the work of God's church. You know, I know folks don't often like to talk about money in church or at any time, but the truth is that we live in a world where the medium of exchange is how we get things done. It's how our United Methodist Church establishes hospitals and colleges across the world. It's how our United Methodist Committee on Relief continues to be, even in this time of pandemic, the single most effective disaster relief agency on the planet. Friends, when we give a dollar to the United Methodist Committee on Relief, all that dollar goes to disaster relief, because we pay for the upkeep and maintenance of this agency through our apportionments, through our tithe, to our fair share giving. And we can go on, friends. There are many things that happen, the feeding of the homeless, the teaching of anti-racism workshops. So much happens because of who we are as a connectional church. And so I want to ask you to give generously today, and I'd like to ask you to begin to be in prayer as we come close to approaching our pledge campaign. We know that some of you will be challenged by COVID and by life circumstances, and we understand that. We also know that some of us can be challenged to expand our generosity, and we want to go there and invite everyone who can do that to do that, so that we might lead this church into a time of renewal, and we might continue to do the great work of the United Methodist Church in Petaluma and beyond. So thank you and bless you for the great gifts you give. You may certainly go to our website and donate online. You can send a check to the church, or you can just drop it by in the mailbox outside the office. In any case, your offering is welcome, appreciated, and it goes to further the work of this wonderful church. Let us pray. God, we receive these gifts knowing that everything we have comes from you. Bless these gifts so that we might use them in your service. Bless these gifts so that we might be agents of healing. Bless these gifts so that we might expand the blessings of your word beyond where we are now and into a world that is so hungry for you. And bless us as we use these gifts. Give us courage and hope and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear these words of benediction. We go now to our separate ways, and we go with the powerful blessing of a God who loves us, a God who knows everything about us and loves us and calls us to faithfulness. So let us go now to continue to live lives worthy of the gospel, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.